Bitchin' Thursday. Flying right through it. Hour number three starting up right now. First 2 hours did themselves. Nice to be with you. I am Jim Rome. I am live in the Quicken Loans studios in Southern California. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Third and final hour is an open phone hour. I've got lots I want to get to myself, but if you want to take part, hit me up right now. Telephone number 1-800-636-8686. Also, follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitake.com. Hit my Facebook page. Mark it up like you always do. Go to my Instagram page. Man, I'm everywhere. Follow me and interact any way you want on any of the platforms. I'll find a way to get you in. We've covered both base brawls from yesterday, legitimate base brawls. Andre Ingram of the LA Lakers, my favorite story of the NBA season, came on in hour number one. I'm pumped to talk to anybody who wants to talk to me, naturally. I mean, who wouldn't be? But I was really excited to talk to him. I mean, that truly is one of the best guys ever. I'd never even met him before. Like everybody else, I'd only seen the video. Then not only to see that story, to see a guy grind out in the G, the D, the G, 10 years in the minor leagues and never abandon the dream. And the guy could have gone overseas, didn't want to do so because he felt he was so close. And then to keep that dream alive and keep grinding, just to get to the NBA and play would be one thing. But to see him go off the way he did in that game was absolutely amazing. And to see other NBAers tweet at him the way they did, also incredible. In case you missed it, we also had a conversation with Joe Hawley, which was something totally different. An NFLer who retired and then had to figure out, now what do I do? His answer to now what do I do was to lose 50 pounds, sell almost all of his belongings. Actually, that's not even true. Gave them away. Sold his Mercedes, got a van, customized the van, got a rescue dog, and is now going across the entire country. A 48-state road trip and documenting it. We had him in hour number one. Chris Mack came in last hour, and now we're wide open. It's something I want to talk about for one moment. Earlier this week, we got back on track with our podcast schedule, finally, because on Tuesday, for the first time in nearly a month, Podcast Tuesday really was Podcast Tuesday. Episode 32 of the Jim Rome Podcast is now available. It's with Clint Malarchik. It's available on iTunes, on all Android players, and jimrome.com. Now, maybe you know him. If you're a hockey fan, I know you know him. Or maybe you know that name, but you can't place it. Almost every sports fan knows this story. Back in 1989, where he suffered an injury where he took a skate blade to his neck while he was playing goalie for the Buffalo Sabres. The video is gruesome. I mean, really, really difficult to see and to watch. Easily. One of, if not the scariest injury you will ever see in sports.
The skate came up, and my reaction was to lift my head, which probably exposed my neck a lot worse than had I kept my chin down, but it's reflex. And immediately, I knew something was wrong because of the first couple of heartbeats of my heart. The blood squirted 4 or 5 feet in front of me, and I went, wow, this is serious. And then it just kind of gurgled out, and so I really thought I was going to die, and I believed that I had got a few minutes, and I got a lot of repentance to do, and everybody was horrified. I was scared. So it was pretty traumatic for me at the time.
So that's Clint Malarchik on our podcast. Let me just walk that back for 1 second. For whatever reason, if you don't know that story, 1989, he's playing goalie for the Sabres. He takes the blade of a skate to his jugular. Slices him wide open, and as he points out, blood was gurgling out 4 to 5 feet onto the ice. He thought he was going to die. He thought he was going to die right there on television in that arena when he saw that blood spurting out the way it was. Somehow, miraculously, he survives. And even more miraculously, despite that fact, this guy got back between the pipes 10 days later. 10 days. But getting back physically did not mean that he was back mentally.
But the worst was the nightmares. I started to have these very vivid nightmares where as soon as I'd nod off, I'd see that skate come up. And I just wake straight up in bed, just straight up. And it got to the point where I really couldn't sleep anymore. But I did all this in silence. I didn't tell a soul what was going on. And probably because of the stigma with mental illness or, you know, being weak and you know, we prefer, I think society, or at least athletes and maybe military first responders, perceive maybe these type of symptoms as weak. Of course, now I know I was sick, not weak, but that's when things really kind of went downhill for me.
Couple of thoughts there. So imagine going through one of the worst things ever, that skate to his jugular, where he nearly bled out on the ice, nearly died. Imagine having to relive that almost every single night. Like, he was afraid to go to sleep because he kept having dreams, really vivid, vivid dreams about that. And of course, the biggest takeaway of all from the podcast was Clint Malarchik detailing that silent struggle with mental illness. He couldn't sleep. He could not be around people. He was depressed. And he had undiagnosed PTSD. And because of the stigma attached to mental illness, he didn't say anything. He kept quiet. And by keeping quiet, of course, it only got worse and worse and worse until years later, one night he attempted to take his own life. He attempted to take his own life with a rifle. It was a suicide attempt that failed, but barely. And I don't want to gloss over it right here because it's too hard to do that particular night any justice without you hearing him tell that story himself. So let me save that for the podcast. He tried to kill himself and he shot himself. And the bullet lodged in his brain. So after cheating death twice, he finally gets the help that he needs. And nearly three decades later, he is an outspoken advocate for mental health.
Today, I just had a conversation with a parent whose son attempted suicide recently. And my message to him, it's not us doing it. It's the illness. We are sick and we need help. And the problem is, you know, a lot of people just suffer in silence because of the stigma and we don't get help. The big stigma with mental illness is it's like saying you're weak and you're not. You're hurting and you're sick and you can get help. So that's my message, is that, you know, it's not a weakness and you need to be happy and healthy.
You know, the amazing thing was, too, when he was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, initially his reaction was, no, not me. I'm not that guy. And when I said, why'd you feel that way? He said, because in Buffalo, I was the man. I came back from that injury. I came back within 2 weeks. They love me. They worship me for it. My toughness, my grit. And at first he didn't accept it, and then he did, and then he started to get better. So the podcast is, to call it powerful, would be a great understatement. More than powerful. Very important. It's critical. It's urgent. There's never been a more important time than right now to have these discussions that were so taboo in the past. So obviously this is not a hockey podcast. It's way more than that. And it was an honor to have a chance to have a conversation with Clint Malarchik and to talk about his journey and his advocacy. And he said it on the podcast, and I'll say it right here. There is help out there for those who need it. And there's not a single reason for you to be sorry or ashamed to ask for that help. And he said that's part of why, or the reason why, he was where he was, because he didn't get that help. It wasn't available to him. And then when it was, he initially didn't get it. And then when he did, he started to get better. And he said it's still a battle, it's still a process, but he's so much better for it. And this is a great, great listen and an important listen. So check it out. It's on iTunes. It's on JimRome.com. It's on all your Android players. And you should listen to it and be sure to share it with somebody else who might need it. Clint Malarchik. And I'm working on a big one for next week, too, the Jim Rome podcast. We've got the Daily Jungle podcast and the Jim Rome weekly podcast. Check it out. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Los Angeles. Matt is in Los Angeles. See what I did there? I didn't say Matt in L.A. I said Matthew in Los Angeles. Hey, cool. Somebody new. Hey, Matt, what's up?
Snaglio Ordonez. Great day to you, my man. Hey, the podcast is killing it, my man. Hey, I had a couple of ideas. Couple of old schoolers that you've talked with before, but it would be great to get a new synopsis on what they're going through probably 20 years later. One, Don McLean, who's a jungle legend and has his hands in a little bit of everything basketball-wise. And then, of course, everybody's man, rock and roll legend Robert Plant. It would be awesome if you could get one of them on there. Hey, as far as today, with Andre Ingram, I mean, this guy, man, his wife was there. His whole family came in. This is the stuff that dreams are made of, man. I'm sure Disney's going to be making a movie about it soon. But this guy's faith His perseverance was all paid off, Romy. And, you know, there's nothing greater to see in sports than something like that. That's another guy that would be great to hear on the podcast. I know, because we just scratched the surface on what he can offer to the sports world. Romy, that's all I got. Hey, one last thing. NHL playoffs. I got the Hartford Whalers over the Minnesota North Stars, baby. Go USA. Roy Russell Westbrook. The super triple dipple super double.
Matt, you got to end at some point, right? I have to end you or you're never going to end. Now he's done. I'll tell you what, though. I'm glad he made that call. Help me help you. Who do you want to hear on our podcast? We talk about this as a team quite a bit. Who to book? It's once a week, and it's a tricky thing because you've got to find somebody who can carry a long-form broadcast. Not everybody can. I put people on that podcast that you've never heard of before that are some of the best conversations ever. So who do you want to hear? Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Give me some ideas for the podcast. He came up with two ideas right there. He said, what about Don McLean, and what about Robert Plant? And then he said, what about Andre Ingram? I'll tell you, what about Matt? That was actually pretty clever. His point was, we heard Ingram, but there's so much more to that guy in that story that you could justify doubling back and doing a podcast with him. I could, for sure. Give me an idea. Who would you like to hear on the podcast? And we'll start working it right now. In fact, do that. Win-win. It helps me do my job, and then you get to hear somebody that you want to hear. We had Andre Ingram on, and I think probably because it's viral, almost all of you have seen that video where he went in for the exit meeting, and he knew it was not a normal exit meeting because he went in there and cameras were following him. That was not normal. He went in a day early. He said that was kind of normal, but when he got in the room, there were so many more people than there normally would be, and he knew something was up. And I said to him, man, I got choked up watching that. How were you yourself able to hold it all together?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I wanted to let loose like my wife and mother did when I called them, you know, in the meeting. I that's what I wanted to do. but I don't know how I kept it together, man. It obviously it was the dream come true. You know, that was it, you know. And so I don't know, man. I think what happened was, you know, I heard it. But, of course, something like that in the amount of time that it, you know, took to get here, it doesn't just sink in automatically. It takes time, but yeah, man, just overwhelmed. And I think my mind just kind of went to, man, this is great, to okay, man, we got to play, so let's kind of get ready. And you know, the same thing kind of what Magic said. That's basically what Magic said when he, you know, I'm sure people seen the video now, he's like, all right, now I need, you know, all your shooting percentage, I need that with us now. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, man. That's all there is to it.
God, I love that answer so much. I love that answer. But that's the point, right? The dream came true. How many of our dreams come true? Much less, how many people have paid the price that guy paid to achieve the dream? So the dream comes true. How, if after that grind, the dream comes true, how do you keep together in that moment? And he said, I really don't even know how I did. And I love his point, too, about Magic Johnson saying, hey, listen, this is great. You earned this. This is a great story. But we're doing this for a reason. We need you. We need what you do. Man, do what you do. Give us what you give us. But do it on the big stage when the lights go on. I'm telling you, I literally could have talked to Andre Ingram for an hour straight. I wanted to hear everything about that. What was that like when you hit the floor for warmups? What was that like when you entered that game? What was that like when you hit that first shot? What was that like when the things started to build and build and build? What was that like when they started to chant MVP, MVP? Tremendous. One email before I go to break. Hey, Rome. Tyler Austin is a little punk. The guy slid dirty into second and only acted like a tough guy when his teammates held him back when they came on the field. Then after he was pissed for getting plunked, dude waited until Kelly told him to bring it before running out to the mound only to get taken down by a 180-pound man. Joe Kelly is now the toughest dude to come out of Corona. Signed, Matt in Poland Springs. Were the Yankees being little bitches and finishing in the basement of the AL East. Man, I love it. I love it that we're not even in the middle of April and it's already on. And finally, Romers. I'm not sure who I want to hear on the podcast next week, But I know who I don't want to hear. Matt in L.A. Rolling in Pittsburgh. Hey, Roland, if it's inevitable, you may as well just sit back and enjoy it. It's not like this guy's not going to call. That's why I try to throw a little deke. That's why I try to throw a little juke. That's why I went to Matthew in Los Angeles. The problem is he opened his mouth. The second he started talking, we knew who he was, and we knew who he wasn't. He was no longer Matthew in Los Angeles. Next time, I'm just going to go, yeah, let's go to Frank in Youngstown. Romy, my man. What's up? And then you'll know it's Matt in L.A. Coming right back. What do you want to hit? I'd like to talk about Russell Westbrook pushing back on people saying that he is thieving rebounds from his teammates. I've got that and more next. Falling into bed has taken on a whole new meaning ever since I started to nap it out on my Casper mattress. Their engineers have created an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience. Get one and you will understand why it is the internet's favorite mattress. Casper has created three unique mattresses to help you sleep cool and comfortably year-round. Starting with the Wave, it's engineered to relieve pressure at 36 different points. The Casper mattress is more breathable, it's more comfortable than ever before. And the Essential mattress is innovation at a great price point. All of them are designed to coddle and comfort your every move, and they all provide the perfect support for every position that you sleep in. Find out why Casper has hundreds of thousands of happy customers like me. Try your Casper mattress for 100 nights in your own home with free shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com, use the code name Rome, save $50 on the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code Rome, save $50. Terms and conditions do apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. If you know anything about this show, you know I'm all about the NHL. If you know that I'm about the NHL, you know I'm really all about it when the postseason starts. I still think it's the best postseason in any sport. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network on our TV simulcast, you're watching our New York peeps bumping in your tweets. Once again, even if I don't read your tweet on the air, it doesn't mean it doesn't get on the air. It might get on TV. Keep it in mind. Follow me on Twitter. Hit me up at Jim Rome. Talking hockey for a minute. Can I get that horn, Albie? It's not too much to ask. I made my pick. It's with great anticipation that you wait for me to make my pick every year because I've never been wrong, ever. In fact, I really should get my name on the Stanley Cup because I've never been wrong. And for all you people that have made so much money going with my pick, you're very welcome. I'm not even going to say chip me off my 10%. Just go ahead and do what you do. But I should have my name on the cup. Not only that, not only should I have my name on the cup, I should be allowed to have a day with the cup, don't you think? Like everybody who wins the cup. Anyway, just because I picked the Preds, and I did yesterday, to hoist that cup, does not mean that I've forgotten about Pittsburgh, because the champs took the ice to begin their two-time title defense, and I'm not sure that there's a better way to announce your presence and your attendance in the best tournament of all by putting seven slugs into the chest of your in-state rival. Penguins, 7. Flyers, nothing. No, scratch that. Penguins, 4. Sid Crosby, 3. And the Flyers, a big, fat, glazed donut. The City of Champions took that ice feeling pretty damn good about themselves, and they left it with both arms over the shoulder of a trainer, smelling salts under their nose, and sitting in a dark room after getting protocoled. Look, I know it's only game one. I know that in the NHL, the Stanley Cup Series, each one is an eternity. However, game one typically does not end with the Zamboni rolling over you and backing back over you. Game one generally does not end with your starting goaltender getting yanked before the halfway mark and Sid the Kid pumping three straight in with the natural Hattie.
Cancel again, goes in behind the net in the Philadelphia zone. Around to Dumoulin. shoots it. Where'd it go? It's up and sticking in behind Elliott. 5-0 Pittsburgh. Slap me, silly Sidney. Sets it up to Schultz, a shot. Deflected loose in front. Crosby taps it in. Sidney Crosby with his second goal. Oh, another shot from the left side by Dubin and gets in. It might have been touched in the way in, and if it is, Crosby, it'll be the hat trick for the Penguin captain. And the hats are flowing on the ice, and Sir Sidney has scored, and you can get that dog off my lawn. The hat trick for Sidney Crosby.
Penguins Radio. Slap me, silly Sidney. Get that dog off my lawn.
Get that dog off my lawn.
Sir Sidney. Slap me, silly Sidney. Get that pooch off my lawn. Sidney. So good. Love that. Only one thing missing from that. Any old day, Alvin. Today would be the best day of all.
Sidney Crosby? How did you get that? How did he get that big, luscious ass and those succulent lips? Is your ass bigger than Madison Bumgarner of the San Francisco Giants? Oh, man. Bye.
Bye. Part of our podcast. These are the kind of calls that I get on the voicemail. Hey, you want to leave me a voicemail? You go right ahead. It's my telephone number. You can get right into my voicemail anytime. Do you have that number? 949. 385-0447. 949-385-0447. Write it down. Put that in your phone under Rome. That is my voicemail. If on occasion that phone rings, I will pick it up and we can have that live conversation. That gal calls all the time and says things like that. That was the only thing missing from last night's radio call. Anyway, every year it's the same thing to me with the Penguins. You wonder if they've got enough left in the tank. Because they go deep every single year. You wonder if they've got enough fuel left in the tank. You wonder if injuries have wrecked their chances. You wonder if their goalie, Matt Murray, is going to fail them or stand in when he has to. I mean, they hit the ice for the playoffs, and then all of a sudden they look like this unstoppable machine. Take, for instance, last night. There were only 2 points that separated those two teams in the standings. That was supposed to be a fair fight. I mean, I get it. Game one. But that was supposed to be a fair fight, not a hospital job, not a curb stomping. The Penguins' top line of Sid, Jake Guentzel, and Brian Rust buried 5 pucks. They had 9 points. They were a plus 14. The Flyers' top line, a combined minus 11. Flyers captain Claude Giroux said, quote, "It was one of the worst games I've been a part of," end quote. I mean, the captain said that. After that beatdown. Listen, Philadelphia is a proud city. That's a good hockey team. But ask Calgary how it went when Brian Elliott lost his mojo in the playoffs. Hell, ask the Caps what it feels like when Sid and Gino and Phil Kessel get so comfortable they're cooking breakfast between their ears. The champs mean business. And while they might have been banged up coming into the postseason, it is go time and they already look very scary. I'm not coming off my pick now. I'm definitely not coming off my pick of the Preds to win it all. Just know this about the defending champs. They may not be the best team playing right now, but they know how to win. And they're ice zombies. You can't freaking kill these guys, especially when they're coming or when you're coming for what's already theirs. And that's the message that they sent last night. You want the strap? You want the strap? You're going to have to kill us to get the strap. It's go time. It's on. And they looked the part last night, didn't they? But they are the epitome of a team that knows where the switch is and can throw it. You know, it's often said you can't just throw the switch in sports. Yeah, really, because it looks like the Penguins can and do and have and are still doing it. It's going
to
be a good month. It's going to be a long month and a good month. Stanley Cup playoffs. Get that dog off my lawn. Silly Sidney. Yeah, I really don't want to hear about his backside or his lips or how luscious it all is to you, whoever you are. That's voicemail fodder for sure.
Sidney Crosby?
She's got similar takes on other athletes, too. If you think that's bad, right, what you just heard, you wouldn't believe the voicemails that never see the light of day, the voicemails that we won't play. If you think the ones that you hear are bad, if you think the ones that we do play are unlistenable, you cannot even begin to imagine the ones that get immediately deleted. Keep it in mind. All right, we're coming back with one last segment, but not before I get to a sports update. Let's go. Huge call is coming up this segment. Last segment. Last chance for you to get through today. Look at this guy. All right, so I put it out there. If you've got an idea for a podcast guest or somebody you want me to do in our long-form setting, a sit-down conversation, either in studio or on the phone, just hit me up. So this guy did. Caleb, at Caleb in Green Bay, tweets, you should do a podcast with Scott Service. I would love to hear about paint, the properties of paint, different brush styles, maybe even ladder safety.
I'm working with my boss, Cam, and I've been out of baseball since 2004 with the Diamondbacks. And I'm sitting there, and I'm painting this stain. And when you were talking about Wheel of Fortune, because I'm a funny guy, you can ask Larkin, Mike Sweeney, any of the guys I play with. When you said that, I dropped the damn brush, and there's stain all over the place.
Caleb, what's your point? That's a former major leaguer who was listening to the show to point out how funny I am. How is that a bad thing? I love it when athletes just call the show. And yet you're killing this guy. And for what? A former major leaguer was painting something, so you thought that was a reason to clown a guy. Their careers end. They need to earn money. They need to pay their bills. How is this a bad thing? Scott, I got your back. I got your back on every single level. One, you got to work. We all do. Two, ladder safety is critical. I have your back. Ladder safety. Do not step on the top step ever for any reason. Caleb, now you know, Caleb. Do better, Caleb. All right, so Russ Westbrook rolls up to the home gym last night, and he did sort of do one thing and one thing only. Clean the glass. Clean the glass. And by clean the glass, I mean wax, polish, sparkle, inhale the glass. Clean the glass. Dude comes into his 82nd game, needing 16 boards to average his second consecutive triple-double for the season. 16. It took him all of 22 minutes to do exactly that.
Out front to Simmons. Driving right away from Westbrook. Sidestep George on the run. Floats a runner and air ball. Westbrook has the 16th rebound, and he's done it. Russell Westbrook, the first ever in NBA history. A triple-double in back-to-back seasons as the crowd erupts.
Clean the glass.
Shoot the glass.
Thunder Radio. My man needed 16 boards to get that thing done, and he did it in 22 minutes. Brody, congrats. Another great year. And no one can take that away from you, Brody, no matter how many or how badly some of these haters want to right now. Last year, this guy was a runaway MVP, putting on a historic show, chasing down the Big O. 12 months later, some of these same people think that he's like this stat-padding bag pulling a cheap trick. Check Twitter right now. You can't scroll an inch without reading some lava take about how Russ rips boards from his teammates, or how Russ has no business as a guard being down low, hoarding all that glass. I mean, sure, that stat line is a little whack from last night. 6 points, 19 assists, and 20 boards. And by a little whack, I mean like John Stockton and Dennis Rodman have this child and the kid can't shoot. I don't know, something whack like that.
That's whack.
That's weird.
That's whack.
I mean, look at that. Look at those stats. Here's something all you tools need to remember. It's an 82-game season, not a one-night carnival. Notice how not one of the other 400 guys in that league had a chance to average a triple-double last season per night. Nobody else. Notice how Russ was the only dude who came into a game 82 with a chance to do that. That's because it's not a one-night carnival. It's because this guy was balling out all season long. He put himself in that position. It's not his fault that last night was the first time all year you checked in on him. That's on you. But if you're still throwing shade, and still saying that his boards have been cheap all year long, then maybe you don't understand the kind of ball these guys play. Billy Donovan. Wait, what? Alvin, that's weird. Billy Donovan. What is that? Billy Donovan. Why is it, Alvin, that I'm trying to make a point about Billy Donovan, and every time I say Billy Donovan, the Munsters theme comes on? If you're watching on TV, you see by both hands, like, I'm upfront about this. I'm not doing anything. Billy Donovan. Anyway, Alvin, I'll talk to you after the show. Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan's on record. Alvin, stop. Billy Donovan's on record. The guy says it over and over again. We play our best basketball when our fastest guy has got the ball in his hands and he starts off a transition possession by pulling down a defensive rebound. So maybe Russ's teammates aren't getting robbed. Maybe it's just the way they play. Maybe it's part of the plan. Maybe that's how they won 95 games over the past two seasons. Maybe Billy Donovan knows exactly what he's doing. But if you think that Brody has not been hearing this noise, and if you think he doesn't have a little something for that noise, then you don't know Russ. Check this dude yesterday before the game.
A lot of people make jokes about whatever stat padding or going to get rebounds.
If people could get 20 rebounds every night, they would. If people could 15 rebounds, they would. The people that's talking or saying whatever they need to say, they should try to do it and see how hard it is. Since everybody's so, you know, everybody wants to be talking, and you know, I'm tired of hearing the same old rebound this, stealing rebound. I take pride in what I do. Come out and play, and I get the ball faster than somebody else get to it. That's just what it is. If you don't want it, I'm gonna get it. Simple as that.
I see you, Russ. I see you, Russ. He's right. If getting 20 rebounds were that easy, everybody would do it every single night. You don't need to tell me, Russ. I got you. But I'm glad you told everybody else, because going back-to-back with something that had not been done since the 60s is pretty incredible. And I'm not here for the shade. I'm here for the shine. You do you, Russ. You do you, Russ. You keep glossing, fools.
He glossed me.
You keep glossing, fools.
He glossed me.
Right, Russ?
He glossed me.
Gloss, fools.
He glossed me.
And then you make sure that you use this opportunity to apologize to absolutely nobody.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not as funny anymore. That's not as funny now that Connor glossed people on a bus.
He glossed me.
Russ has got nothing to apologize for, and neither does Billy Donovan. Wow. Nice job, Alvin. Have you got a couple of turntables right in front of you there? What's going on? He glossed him, dear Rome.
He glossed me.
Outside of the Penguins beatdown on the Flyers last night, Philly fan should be loving life. Super Bowl from the Eagles. National title from Nova. 76ers have a good look at that weak Eastern Conference. Other than Gabe Kapler doing weird bleep with the Phillies, it's not a bad time to be a Philly fan. Signed Jack in La Habra, currently working in Fortin, Unwar John in HB. All right, then. OC Beef. Back on the air in San Diego and some OC Beef. All about Cali. Let's go to San Diego. Vince, you made it in. How you doing, Vince? What's
hey,
up?
Hey, Jim. All right. Saving the best for last. Right
you know
on. How you doing?
Good, bud. How about you?
Great. Great to hear you. Hey, first of all, you're right on about Russell Westbrook. He was a ball hog. He wouldn't have no 10 assists per game. He'd be going for 35-5 like Jordan used. But really, I called to talk to you about baseball and beanballs and Yankees Red Sox. First of all, yodeling is not cool or tough. Yodeling is like candy corn. They look good and seem like a good idea, but after 2 seconds, everyone's sick of them. Okay? And the best walkout music ever was Mariano's Enter Sandman, hands down, not even a number two. But to beanballs, The guy who threw that beanball is not tough. There is nothing tough about throwing a beanball. Throwing a beanball is the biggest punk move in all of sports. There's nothing tough about taking a rock and throwing it downhill 100 miles an hour at someone's head with eight guys behind you. Okay? And I don't know why more guys, when they run out there, don't take their bat with them. You throw your rock at me, I'm going to hit you with my stick. See a lot less guys doing it.
My man, Vince, all right. I didn't run you. Alvin did that. I wanted to see how many takes that you could tick off in one call. At last count, that was five. That was pretty strong. All right, so I don't agree with some of that. This whole thing about how yodeling is weak. Yodeling's not weak. Yodeling is cool. And the only thing cooler than this kid yodeling is a major leaguer walking out to this kid yodeling. So you and I are not on the same page there. I think that's awesome. To your point about it being punk and weak and cowardly for a major league pitcher to throw a rock downhill 60 feet, 100 miles an hour, you got a point there. I mean, batters are defenseless. Of course, the flip side of that is, yeah, we won't throw at you if you're not violating the code. And there was a violation of the code when you came in late and high spikes up on our guy. I mean, I could do a show for an entire day or week or weeks or months on the code. Baseball's arcane code. Who the hell understands that code? There are parts of the code that I do understand, parts that I will never understand, but I never played the game, much less at that level. It's always going to be there. These baseball vigilantes will always do what they do. They will always police themselves. But to your point about why don't guys come out on the field with bats? Hey, man, don't give me any ideas. We saw Johnny Roseborough and Juan Marichal once. That's like the scariest thing ever. Don't give these guys any ideas. But his point was, if a guy can take a baseball and throw it 90-plus at a guy's head, why wouldn't you come off the bench? Why wouldn't you stop by the bat rack first before going onto the field? I hate to say it, but he's got a point, right? A batter in the box is defenseless if a guy is going to throw. And again, there's that whole part of the code where you can dot a guy, but there's a right way to dot a guy, and there's a wrong way to dot a guy. And whatever you do, never, ever throw a baseball above anybody's shoulders, no matter what happened prior to that. Again, the code. All I know is I always say, have a take, don't suck. That guy had like five takes. Not bad. Not bad at all. He even called MJ a ball hog. He said, if Russ Westbrook were about that life, quote, he wouldn't have no 10 assists. Actually, he had 20 last night. He wouldn't have no 20 assists. Enter Sandman. Hey, you tell me what's better. Would you rather walk up to this? Or you tell me what's better, that or Metallica? That or this? Or you want a third option? Would you walk up on this? I would. If I had any game at all, I'd be walking up on that. No, I'm done. No matter how big or small your team is, Ferguson has got a winning game plan for pro contractors with thousands of plumbing repair parts, knowledgeable associates, and the largest national footprint in the game. When the pressure is on, you can count on Ferguson. My thanks to L.A. Laker Andre Ingram, Joe Hawley, former NFLer Chris Mack, the head coach of Louisville, and you clones. Good day. Good work. Nice job. Nice effort. Well done. I'll take that all day long.
Good show, dude.
Y'all remember, dude, grind includes Friday. Hit it hard tomorrow. Do not lay it up. Get in here early. Come strong. Thank you for listening. See you then. We are out.